both innovative and forever. Welcome to this audio issue of Tech Frontiers, published and copyrighted by Porter & Company, all rights reserved. Please note that this recording was generated via AI and may contain minor transcription errors and pronunciation mistakes. Throughout this issue, I may reference charts, graphs, and imagery that can only be viewed on our website at porterandcompanyresearch.com. Determining the ideal holding period for Tech Frontiers stocks. Editor's note, this is the last issue of Tech Frontiers that will be published by Erez Kalir. Porter will be personally taking over the day-to-day stock selection and monthly issues going forward. Erez, who has been masterfully overseeing the publication since January 2024, has decided to step away from writing advisories. You will see his farewell at the end of this issue. Of course, we are sorry to see him go. His track record, as shown in the Tech Frontiers open and closed positions, has been truly spectacular. In fact, 4 of the 11 active biotech holdings have more than doubled since Erez recommended them. However, with that powerful momentum behind us, we are incredibly bullish on Tech Frontiers, as it covers 3 of the hottest sectors in the market today: biotech, tech, and the blockchain, which show huge potential. One of Warren Buffett's most famous remarks was a response to a deceptively simple question: what's the ideal holding period for a stock? His answer has since become investing legend, forever. Buffett later elaborated in a Berkshire Hathaway shareholder letter, "When we own portions of outstanding businesses with outstanding managements, our favorite holding period is forever." I've always loved that answer, not because stocks should literally never be sold, but because it forces us to think differently about what we're buying in the first place. The goal isn't to trade pieces of paper. It's to become long-term owners of exceptional businesses with durable competitive advantages, capable management, and years, sometimes decades, of growth still ahead. This goal is as relevant to technology companies as it is to all others. Indeed, businesses such as Roivant Sciences, ROIV, Alphabet, Google, Fortress Biotech, FBIO, and SBI Holdings, 8473, JP, bear their own striking resemblance to the original Berkshire Hathaway, notwithstanding their focus on investing in innovations. They may actually be the closest things to the original Berkshire Hathaway one can find in the stock market today. As I'll clarify further at the close of this issue, Buffett's observation is especially relevant to me in writing this month. In June, we thoroughly reviewed every live biotech recommendation we've made. This month, we do the same for our recommendations in other domains of technology. Guiding my writing both last month and this month is a slight variation of Buffett's question: which of these companies would I still be happy owning 5 years from now? 10 years from now? The pages that follow are my answer. Let's begin. Gabler Group, XK4F. We recommended Gabler Group in May with a reference entry price of €36.60 per share. Shares recently traded hands at around €44.80, a nice gain of about 22% in 2 months. But Gabler Group shares are still a steal, and stand poised to double or triple over the next 5 years. As readers of our May issue will recall, Gabler Group is a storied German manufacturer of mission-critical components for maritime defense, and especially for submarines. I called it an emerging European defense mini-prime, named after the primary contractors that maintain direct contractual relationships with governments to deliver major military platforms. With Europe set to grow its defense spending to over €1 trillion per year over the coming decade, roughly triple the current level, I anticipate Gabler Group will be a significant beneficiary of that boom, in no small part because it operates in a narrow competitive niche with no real European rivals. As I explained in our deep dive on Gabler, the company's mast systems and other essential components are designed into the European standard for military submarines, a positioning no other European supplier can claim. While Gabler Group has existed as a private company for decades, it IPO'd on the Frankfurt Stock Exchange only recently, in March, and is still being discovered by European institutional investors focused on public markets. This discovery phase offers us a window of opportunity to buy and own Gabler Group shares before they become widely held by European institutions. Earlier this week, Canadian Prime Minister Mark Carney announced that Canada had selected Germany's ThyssenKrupp Marine Systems, TKMS, to build the Royal Canadian Navy's next fleet of a dozen cutting-edge submarines. This blockbuster deal, one of Canada's largest defense contracts ever, is worth over $12 billion for the submarines themselves, but potentially up to $60 billion more for 50 years of follow-on maintenance. Who is the sole source supplier of mast systems and other critical components to ThyssenKrupp? Gabler Group. This contract alone should provide a meaningful step up for Gabler's revenue beginning in 2028. In our May issue, I outlined a base case scenario in which Gabler grows revenue from last year's €61.7 million to €80 million to €90 million over the coming 3 years, while its valuation multiple, currently well below its peers, normalizes to the peer group level as European institutional investors begin to pay attention. Given the upside provided by the Canadian submarine contract, I now think that base case is conservative, and Gabler could plausibly see revenue grow to over 100 million euros by 2028. At a 6x revenue multiple consistent with its European defense peer group, that would imply 600 million euros in market capitalization, a gain of over 120% from current levels. Shares have significantly higher upside as we extend the horizon beyond 3 years. If you already own Gabler Group, this is a company whose shares you can hold through thick and thin for the long term. It's a small cap forever stock with a very long runway. If you don't own Gabler Group shares, I recommend you buy them up to 45 euros per share. If you find that the shares are trading above this buy up to price, please exercise patience. They'll likely dip back into buy range within a short time. GDS Holdings, NASDAQ, GDS. We recommended GDS Holdings in November 2025 with a reference entry price of $34.17 per share. Although shares have subsequently traded as high as $48, over 40% above our entry price, they've since fallen back to around $33. The good news, GDS offers an even more compelling risk/reward today than when we recommended it 8 months ago, and the next 12 months are likely to unlock significant value in the shares. Our investment thesis in GDS centered on its identity as China's AI landlord. In brief, GDS builds, owns, and operates large, cutting-edge data centers that it then leases out to China's leading AI technology companies, including Alibaba, BABA, Tencent, Techi, Baidu, BIDU, and others. Building such data centers in China's Tier 1 cities and other desirable locations there requires scarce ingredients such as land, power, grid interconnects, and regulatory permits, all of which GDS has assembled over decades of close collaboration with the Chinese state. These scarce ingredients give GDS an important competitive moat that's virtually impossible for rivals to replicate at scale. As China pursues a staggering national investment in support of AI, the government recently announced it will commit $300 billion to China's AI build-out over the coming 5 years. GDS is poised to be a major beneficiary. And as a picks and shovels provider, GDS stands to win no matter which specific technology companies emerge at the front of China's AI pack. Now there's also a promising catalyst on the horizon. In 2025, GDS spun out its international business, which owns and operates data centers elsewhere in Asia, outside China, while rebranding that company Day One. GDS continues to own 19.9% of Day One, which it carries on its books at an understated $2.2 billion. Credible sources have recently reported that Day One is contemplating a U.S. IPO over the coming year at about a $20 billion valuation. Such a listing would imply a $4 billion value for GDS's remaining stake. But GDS's own entire market capitalization is only $6.5 billion today. Backing out the hidden asset of its ownership in Day One at a $4 billion value implies only $2.5 billion for GDS's core business in China, a business that could plausibly generate $1.5 billion, $2 billion of EBITDA in 3 years. In effect, owning GDS shares today gives us an opportunity to buy the core business in China pro forma for a Day One U.S. listing at less than 2x 2028 EBITDA. Even if Day One eventually goes public in the U.S. at less than $20 billion, its listing should reveal the value in GDS's shares. They're stupidly cheap, and an opportunity we should not miss. If you already own GDS shares, hold them and consider adding. If you don't own them yet, buy GDS Holdings, NASDAQ, GDS, up to $34 per share. SBI Holdings, 8473, JP. We recommended SBI Holdings in February 2025 at a split-adjusted reference entry price of 2,157 yen and 50 cents per share. Although the shares today trade at about 25% above that entry price, they're well below an all-time high of 3,800 yen. Nonetheless, I continue to like our SBI Holdings recommendation and believe patient holders will eventually be rewarded with substantial further gains. Our original investment thesis in SBI Holdings was straightforward. SBI is really two businesses in one. The core business, the one that institutional investors in its home country of Japan pay attention to, is a boring, reliable retail brokerage, akin to a Japanese Charles Schwab or Interactive Brokers. That business throws off predictable profits that resemble a variable annuity. Crucially, the core business trades an exceptionally modest price-to-earnings ratio, PE, of only 4x its trailing 12-month earnings, and about 8x to 9x its anticipated earnings in 2027. This valuation puts SBI's core business at a significant valuation discount to Japan's TOPIX index PE of 19.6x, even though SBI's core business is much better than average across many important metrics. The real nub of our investment thesis centers on SBI's other business, its 9% ownership stake in Ripple Labs, a leading blockchain fintech company and the originator of the XRP token ecosystem. Ripple has been recently valued in the private market at about $50 billion, implying a $4.5 billion value for SBI's stake. But Ripple could very plausibly be worth multiples more over the coming decade, potentially as much as $1 trillion. In a blue sky scenario in which Ripple were worth $1 trillion, SBI's 9% stake would be worth $90 billion, or nearly 9x the market capitalization of SBI in its totality today. Every $50 billion appreciation in Ripple's current value reflects about a 50% pro forma increase in SBI's current market cap. The upshot is, in holding shares of SBI, our downside is protected by a very stable, inexpensively valued core business, while our upside is positively and convexly tied to the promise of Ripple, which could prove to be a moonshot. I continue to recommend that owners of SBI Holdings 8473, JP, shares hold for the long term. SharpLink, NASDAQ, SPET. We recommended SharpLink, then called SharpLink Gaming, shares in October 2025 with a reference entry price of $17.57. Shares trade today at around $5.34, down 70%, making SharpLink the worst performing position, and one of the few losing positions we've recommended in Tech Frontiers. Despite the poor performance to date, I believe readers who own SharpLink shares should continue to hold them, and those who don't yet own them should keep the company on their active watch list. Let me explain. Our investment thesis in SharpLink centered on its identity as a leading Ethereum treasury, or, as we called it, a piggy bank for Ethereum. As we explained at greater length, every investor today should be looking to include blockchain blue chips in their portfolio. That's because blockchain assets are increasingly becoming digital gold, and therefore a crucial complement to gold itself as a hedge against the ongoing debasement of paper currencies. Blockchain assets will benefit from an increasing share in the asset allocation of global institutional investors, providing a multi-trillion dollar tailwind over the coming decade. Global finance will increasingly run on blockchain rails, and on stablecoins in particular, so owning blockchain blue chips becomes a way to own the emerging infrastructure of finance itself. The premier blockchain blue is, of course, Bitcoin, BTC. But if there's a second, it's clearly Ethereum, which is both the second largest blockchain ecosystem by market capitalization and the primary engine, i.e., the Layer 1 or L1, powering the stablecoin market. SharpLink is simply an Ethereum treasury, meaning that it holds Ether and stakes it, earning rewards along the way. Owning SharpLink therefore offers investors a way to own Ethereum, participate in the staking rewards that SharpLink earns, akin to an ongoing share buyback program, and do all of this at a discount to the net asset value of SharpLink's Ethereum treasury, a discount that currently stands at 27%. Investors can see the daily relationship between SharpLink's Ethereum holdings and the stock's market cap at sharplink.com/dashboard. No aspect of our investment case has weakened since we published on it. If anything, the foundations of our thesis have gotten stronger, as the debasement of paper money continues to accelerate and the role of blockchain and stablecoins in next-generation finance becomes clearer. But as long-standing participants in the cryptocurrency markets know, what has changed since October is that the crypto asset class has fallen into a brutal bear market. Bitcoin itself is down 50% from its high, now trading just above $60,000. The good news is, prior crypto bear markets have witnessed similar, brutal drawdowns followed by powerful recovery to new all-time highs: 2011, 93% drop 2013 to 2015, 86% drop 2017 to 2018, 84% drop 2021 to 2022, 77% drop. Despite these massive drawdowns, Bitcoin has appreciated from a low of $2.14 in 2011 to over $60,000 today. I believe the current crypto bear market will end. Both Bitcoin and Ethereum will eventually make new highs. When they do, SharpLink shares will erase the loss from our reference entry level and generate meaningful gains. If you already own SharpLink shares, my recommendation is to hold them through the volatility. If you don't yet own them, wait for a reliable uptrend to emerge in Bitcoin and Ethereum, so that SharpLink meets the final, third criterion of Steve Sugarud's brilliant rule of thumb: to buy things when they're cheap, hated, and in an uptrend. Long Alphabet, NASDAQ, Google, short Microsoft, NASDAQ, MSFT. In our February issue, we recommended a pair trade to buy Alphabet, Google, while shorting Microsoft, MSFT. Our reference entry price on our purchase of Alphabet was $333.12. Those shares have since appreciated 7% to $356.50. Our reference entry price on our short position in Microsoft was $414.44. Those shares have since fallen to $380.75, providing a gain of about 9%. In total, we are up about 15% on our pair trade. Our investment thesis here is simple. Casual observers see Alphabet and Microsoft as similar companies, both constituents of the Magnificent Seven, both large-cap, blue-chip big tech companies, both perceived as winners in the emerging AI economy. But below the surface, these two companies are actually very different. As we elaborated in detail in our February issue, Alphabet is vertically integrated at every relevant level in AI, from hardware to data centers to foundation model to the legacy platforms that feed the entire ecosystem with data. In contrast, Microsoft owns only lower value pieces of its AI stack, data centers. Its foundation model partner, OpenAI, is running an economically unsustainable business model. The upshot is that the emerging AI era will likely make Alphabet stronger and significantly increase its value, while Microsoft will become weaker and relatively less valuable. Because the companies are still perceived as sisters, owning one while shorting the other allows us to profit while zeroing out market risk and even AI bubble risk. If the stock market collapses or the AI bubble bursts, I still anticipate our Microsoft short will fall more than our Alphabet long. Nothing that we've seen since we published in February has changed this investment thesis for the worse. To the contrary, the market has begun to perceive the cracks in Microsoft's business. While I don't know that now is an ideal time to underwrite this pair trade if you're new to it, for subscribers who already entered, you can continue to hold Alphabet as a forever stock, while remaining short Microsoft until that stock has declined at least 20% from current levels. Venture Global, NYSE, VG. We followed Porter and recommended Venture Global in April, with a reference entry price of $14.54 per share. With shares currently trading at around $12.60, we're down about 13%. I continue to think Venture Global represents a compelling risk/reward, even more so at these lower price levels. Venture Global is a leading, vertically integrated U.S. liquefied natural gas, LNG, exporter that takes cheap domestic natural gas, sourced at a discount from basins like the Permian in West Texas, and sells it into premium international markets such as Europe and Asia. Unlike legacy operators such as Cheniere Energy, LNG, that lock in 80% to 90% of their volumes under long-term fixed-price contracts, Venture Global leaves most of its capacity deliberately exposed to short-term or spot LNG prices. That makes the company, in effect, a long-term call on the price of U.S. LNG. Since we recommended it, Venture Global has delivered terrific Q1 results, with revenue growing 59% year-on-year and profits up 23%, less than the percentage growth in revenue due to lower average LNG prices. But I encourage holders of this stock to elevate above the quarterly earnings noise and focus instead on four key pillars of the investment thesis. As the AI economy continues to grow, and AI becomes more integrated into every sector and every aspect of our lives, it will generate parallel demand for energy, and U.S.-sourced LNG will inevitably be a major part of filling that energy need. The vertically integrated LNG infrastructure that Venture Global has built in record time is a jewel in the crown asset that can't and won't be replicated by another competitor, giving Venture Global an enviable and rare competitive moat. The bull case for Venture Global shares is currently clouded by a series of legal overhangs, specifically, legal cases in which Venture Global is embroiled with some of the global energy majors. VG has been successfully settling these lawsuits, and as the legal risk lifts over the coming 1 to 2 years, shares too should naturally rise. Venture Global has also built its jewel in the crown infrastructure with a staggering amount of debt, $37 billion of debt on a total enterprise value of $70 billion. Venture Global has not yet fully activated the cash flow switch that will enable it to begin retiring this debt. Over the coming 2 to 3 years, it will begin to do so. And as its debt is retired, value will naturally accrete to VG equity holders. The bottom line, I anticipate VG could plausibly be a $50 stock in 3 years, more than quadruple current levels. For those who already own it, VG is a strong hold, and for those who don't own it yet, I think it's a strong buy up to $13 per share. Adecco Agro, NYSE, Agro. We recommended Adecco Agro in April alongside Venture Global, at a reference entry price of $14 per share. With shares today trading at about $10, we're down about 30%. I remain bullish on Adecco Agro shares. We recommended Adecco Agro because of its advantage, strategic position in Argentina, with abundant access to two critical commodity resources. One, urea, through Adecco Agro's acquisition of Profertil, the largest urea producer in South America, and two, natural gas, through Adecco Agro's massive holdings in Argentina's Vaca Muerta shale. But Adecco Agro doesn't only own resources in the ground. It also vertically integrated in the ways that count, with infrastructure including a state-of-the-art production complex in Bahía Blanca, 4 logistics and dispatch centers across Argentina, port access, and the commercial flexibility to sell both domestically and into export markets. In other words, Adecoagro is not merely positively exposed to key commodity prices. It controls a strategic resources platform in one of the few geographies likely to benefit from the world's scramble for non-Strait of Hormuz commodity supplies. The market today still misunderstands Adecoagro as a cyclical agriculture company. Over the coming 1 to 2 years, it will become clear the company occupies a key strategic position as an advantaged resource supplier of essential commodities to South America and the world. The stock also offers an implicit call option on the positive re-rating of Argentina itself. If you already own Adecoagro shares, I see them as a strong hold. If not, I would recommend them as a compelling buy below $11 per share. Unlike some recommendations in this month's issue, I would not characterize Adecoagro as a forever stock and would sell or take profit above $25 per share. Between the June issue and this month's, we have completed a thorough review of every live recommendation in Tech Frontiers. I hope that this review leaves you with a good sense about exactly why we made these recommendations, and about my current, best thinking on each of them. And now I must share some sad news. I've made a difficult decision to step away from writing Tech Frontiers. The decision is difficult because, in many ways, writing this newsletter and its predecessor Biotech Frontiers has been some of the most enjoyable work I've ever done. I've loved exploring the cutting edges of biotech and other innovative technologies. I so much enjoy the dual discipline of finding mispriced opportunities in public markets and expressing my thoughts about them to you in writing. I'm deeply grateful for the questions, feedback, and encouragement readers have extended, and I'm proud to have published here. Porter Stansberry and Marty Fridson are two of the most brilliant investment thinkers and writers I know. With gratitude for the privilege of writing to you, best regards, Erez Porter & Company. Stevenson, Maryland. For important disclosures and disclaimers, please visit our legal disclosures page. Thank you for being a paid subscriber to Porter & Company. We hoped you enjoyed this audio issue. In addition to this issue, you should check out our top 3 best buys, where we highlight 3 current portfolio picks that are at an attractive buy point today. You can find the top 3 best buys under the Best Buys link on our site at porterandcompanyresearch.com.